The increase in natural disasters around the world suggests the war against global warming has reached a tipping point. Heat waves, wildfires and extreme flooding are inflicting a devastating human cost on populations. The financial risks are huge and growing fast. In this podcast, leaders in environmental justice highlight the urgent need for governments and business to redouble efforts on climate change in order to recapture the optimism that followed the 2015 Paris Agreement. Assessing the issues are Mary Robinson, the 7th President of Ireland and a former UN Special Envoy for Climate Change, James Thornton, Chief Executive Officer of environmental law NGO Client Earth, and John Cruden, who served as US Assistant Attorney General for the Environment under President Obama. We begin with Mary Robinson on the increasing vulnerability of developing countries to climate shocks.
I call it a moral issue, a political issue, a justice issue, a human rights issue, because these shocks and these impacts are not being caused by the communities that are suffering. They don't drive cars, they don't have central heating, they don't have emissions. The whole of Africa is responsible even now for less than 4% of the emissions of the world. And yet the impacts in African countries and parts of Asia and elsewhere are huge. I've been to the countries affected by El Nino that are battered with malnourished children, with climate shocks that they can't cope with. You have the worst droughts, you have the worst flooding, and they are devastated and they've fallen into a humanitarian disaster. There are 60 million people worldwide who are part of a kind of hidden, slow onset climate disaster. We have to target the El Nino countries and make them the most resilient countries.
Robinson also emphasises the need for government accountability, business ambition and global investment.
We're now into the stage of implementing the Paris Agreement, which means national action. That is much more hopeful. So civil society should be holding governments accountable. Business should be looking for more ambition in order to advance things. We need the 100 billion for developing countries because we need trillions for developing country development. Most of the development has to take place in the developing world, and that means human solidarity.
James Thornton of Client Earth says the financial risks posed by global warming will revolutionise the approach of business.
If companies don't get interested and if companies don't want to take a lead, we are not going to get where we need to be in terms of climate change. The good news is that many are interested and many are doing the right thing, some out of altruistic reasons, some out of simple and very sound economic reasons. So this opens up a new world of nations and companies working together to do the right thing. But we need something like 60 trillion in investment in clean energy over the next 15 or 20 years, and much of that will be coming from companies. Climate risk is now clearly understood, whatever some skeptics may say. There is universal scientific agreement on it in all necessary ways for it to trigger the legal duty that comes from being a fiduciary. Because climate risk equals financial risk now. If you are the manager of another person's money, you have a duty to manage for climate risk. This will revolutionize how companies think, how pension funds think, and that's where all the investment needs to come from, pension funds, private companies. And once you begin to mobilize their decision-making power by saying that you need to do it, you must do it, but also it can be very good business, then we hope that you're going to see some rapid change. Lots of big pension funds are beginning to divest. And then what they need to do as well is invest in the right things. So divestment is beginning, but then you need to move investment in the progressive direction of going towards clean fuels and towards a decarbonized economy.
Pressure on governments to comply with environmental laws, says Thornton, could trigger greater advances in clean energy.
Reluctant governments aren't that different from reluctant companies who are just getting away with things. So in China, for example, we're helping the government rejig the system a bit so that the thousands of companies which have been violating the law are prosecuted and are required to comply with the law. And in Europe, when it comes to environmental law, enforcement has been very poor. The European system itself, the Commission, has been reluctant to bring cases, and the governments haven't been bringing nearly as many cases as they should, and the governments have been disobeying. So I would say one of the things is you need to start, and this has to be citizens now, bringing cases to require governments to comply with the law. the law, which after all they wrote, tightening up clean air rules and requiring clean air, is an opportunity for governments to say, we want to get far ahead of this and far beyond just cleaning up the air. This is a remarkable opportunity to make a deep move towards electrifying the whole economy, moving away from fossil fuels, moving away from dirty energy.
Turning to the US, Thornton says he hopes President Trump's threat to pull out of the Paris Agreement doesn't come to pass and is in sharp contrast with China's long-term vision for environmental protection.
He can't actually take America out of the agreement. He can set the clock ticking for the prescribed way that you come out. Now, the first day on which America could actually leave is the day after the next presidential election. So here's hoping. But even if that were to be the case, a number of American states have said we are going to follow the Paris Agreement. So I think it's 14 states and it's well over 300 companies in the United States are now saying we, even though companies aren't bound by the Paris Agreement, it's a matter of states who set limits, companies are saying we're going to do it anyway. That's very inspiring. Working in China is one of the things that gives me greatest hope in life. The Chinese have just created a whole group, a whole cadre of environmental court judges. So there are now, I think, 3,000 environment court judges in China. They're really adamant about making environmental cleanup work.
John Cruden, U.S. Assistant Attorney General for the Environment during the Obama administration, says the U.S. should be doing more, particularly on clean energy, but remains optimistic about global efforts to tackle climate change.
I do believe that worldwide we have seen progress in most of these significant indicators of environmental progress in water, in land issues, in air issues. But that said, there's so much more that can and should be done. And we're faced in our lifetime one of the great crises, which is, of course, the impact of climate change. It was during the Obama administration, of course, that the nations came together at Paris with a really historic agreement. That part of the United States contribution was a number of things, but one of them was the Environmental Protection Agency's Clean Power Plan, which I also defended while I was at Department of Justice. As you know, the new administration has essentially suspended that Clean Power Plan, and has said that they intend to relook at it and maybe change it in some ways. But I think what's lost on people is it still exists. The Clean Power Plan is still there. It is just simply not being implemented right now. In order to change it, you have to go through another process, as you did when you created that plan. And at different stages, if you make decisions, those decisions can and I'm sure will be litigated there. So what's happening right now internationally is quite positive because the international community is coming together. My hope is eventually the United States does more.